You are now standing by the northern end of the pulpitum screen, place number 2. There is a rope supported by metal posts in front of it.
The screen is like a wall, 24 feet or 7.2 meters high and 50 feet or 15 meters long. As you heard, it divides the crossing from the area of the choir. On top of the screen is the large organ in an ornate carved wooden case. The screen was built in the mid-15th century at the same time as the central tower. It's gilded in places, decorated with life-size statues of 15 kings of England, starting with William the Conqueror, nearest to you, and ending with Henry VI. All the statues are original, except for the one of Henry VI, which dates from 1810.
Reach forward across the rope to touch the nearest corner of the screen. At just above shoulder level, you will find a stone-carved pedestal with delicate carving on it. Above is the statue of King William, holding an upward-pointed sword in his right hand and a scepter in his left. You may be able to feel his right shoe and the bottom of his robes.
From your position facing the screen, turn around to the left towards the north. You'll then be looking towards the open space of the north transept. You may be able to see that you are facing the famous Five Sisters window, which fills almost all the north wall of the transept. This window is formed of five narrow openings, called lancets, which are 53 feet, or 16.2 metres high, and 5 feet, or 1.5 metres wide. The 700-year-old glass in these lancets is grisaille, or silver-grey, interspersed with narrow bands of colour which form geometric patterns. This is the finest and largest area of grisaille in the world, measuring 1,300 square feet, or 121 square metres. You will also have realised how big the minster is, and this, in turn, affects the acoustics. You can hear how the sound reflects off the glass at a high frequency. The reflecting surfaces are often a long distance away, so that the reflections of the sound from the walls and vaulting continue for a long time and produce an almost continuous hum. Consequently, you will hear this hum, which is different for each of the spaces around you. This transept sounds different from the nave, for example. There are no reflecting surfaces close to you except for the floor, so that sounds are not very much coloured by the close reflections.
From where you are standing, you will hear the quarter chime clock on the east wall of the north transept. It was made in the 18th century, and in 1891, a 3-minute chime was added to remind the choir and clergy to line up for the procession before a service. The strike is made by 2 wooden figures of men in armour. They swing their pikes to hit the metal chime bars. Next, walk straight across the transept to the north wall, a distance of about 40 feet or 15 metres. Here you will find some blank arcading, made up of columns and arches attached to the wall. There is a low stone seat at the base of the columns, so you may like to sit down for a few moments. Switch off now, and switch on again when you have found a blank arcading. You are now by the blank arcading on the north wall of the north transept.
The transepts are the earliest parts of the present minster to remain. The style of architecture used is early English. In the 13th century, the Norman method of building, with rounded arches and huge columns, was replaced by pointed arches and thinner columns. This enabled buildings to become higher and lighter. You will have realised by now that the architectural style of the building changes from area to area. The south transept, on the opposite side of the crossing, was built under Archbishop Walter de Grey in about 1230 to 1240. The north transept was built a few years later under Archbishop John Liromain. Both transepts are very similar apart from their main windows. High on the south wall of the south transept is a magnificent round rose or wheel window. It's formed by two circles of radiating columns and arches which represent the spokes. The 16th century glass shows the red and white roses symbolizing the union of the houses of York and Lancaster. When the south transept roof caught fire in 1984, this glass escaped destruction, although it was cracked into 40,000 pieces.
The blank arcading you are standing by is made up of columns supporting trefoiled or three-pointed arches. Find one of the columns of the blank arcading. They're about 5 feet or 1.45 meters apart. You will discover that the column is made up of three slender shafts. At the top, you will find a shaft ring, which links them together, an early English characteristic. Next, move your hand further up to discover the carved capital or top. The form of carving on the capital is called stiff leaf and is very typical of the early English style. All the columns around the minster have carved capitals. Many are representations of foliage, but others depict people and animals. As most of the capitals are out of reach, this is an unusual opportunity to be able to feel the work of the medieval stone carvers, who showed great imagination and skill in creating these small masterpieces hundreds of years ago. Make sure you are facing the wall and move to your right to find the tall cluster of columns at the end of the blank arcading. These are made up of cream stone and black Purbeck marble.
This cluster of columns, made up of many shafts, supports the arch above you. Run your hand across these shafts and you will discover that two contrasting sorts of stones are used in its construction. Purbeck marble is a hard limestone from Dorset, which takes on a high polish and resembles marble. Contrast its cool smoothness with the rougher, warmer limestone. Now run your hand down to the base to find a deep moulding, known as water holding, which is another early English detail. The towering Five Sisters window above you has very similar but slimmer columns to support the arches at the top, and the same contrasting stones have been used to splendid effect. To your right is the astronomical clock, which was given in memory of the airmen of Britain, the Commonwealth, and Allied nations who died in World War II. Its face shows the phases of the moon, but it has no tick or strike, so you won't hear it. The chapter house and vestibule leading into it is your next stop, place number 3. Follow the cluster of columns to find a downward movable ramp set in the door opening. On your left is the large open wooden door. Just past the door is a very small step down and usually a doormat. The vestibule is L-shaped. Follow it around to the right to the entrance doorway into the chapter house. Move carefully, as there are some notice boards, a ticket kiosk, and two large wooden statues along the route. There's also a long storage cupboard in the center of the second part of the vestibule. The entrance into the chapter house is divided by a central column with a statue of the Virgin Mary on it. Stop by this.
Switch off now, and switch on again when you have found the column at the entrance into the chapter house.